get started, we thank the good Lord for giving us safe travel and allowing us to be back today. Amen. We missed all of you. And we did get word that everything went well in our absence, which is always a blessing. Amen. It's a good thing to me. It joys the pastor's heart to know that he can go away and things can carry on. And get a good report about how things took place. Amen. Amen. So let's just have a word of prayer to get started. And there may be, you may have things on your mind with all the kind of stuff going on. And want to apologize to those of you who had to wait because we did have an important meeting that we had to deal with. And we still thank you for being here and being patient. And we're still in that formative period in our ministry that we're trying to lay some foundational things down. And so it was necessary to preempt our normal prayer meeting today in order to deal with some issues at hand. But having said that, we thank you for being here, and we want to go ahead and have an opening word of prayer. Father, we praise you and we bless you. We just thank you for your word today, Father, and we just thank you for being God all by yourself. We thank you, Father, that you have all things in control. Lord, we look at some troubling things going on in the world and even in our city, and our hearts are just broken, Lord, over some of the things that we see. But we know that you are in control, Father. You have control of all things. And so, Father, we exalt your name. We lift you up. We praise you. We thank you for being God. And we just ask that you look over the families, oh God, that are being involved, and help the people who are just running wild in the streets, Lord, and people who are confused, people who are hurting, whatever they're going through, Father, we pray that you would be a balm, oh God, in the midst of all this trouble, oh God, that their hearts would be comforted. Lord, we pray especially for the parents of that Michael Brown, God, because we know they're being ripped in every which way, God. And so, Father, for them, we pray you give them extended grace, Lord, and extended mercy, that they would be just comforted at this time, oh God. And we pray for a suitable outcome, that what that which is right would be done, oh God. And we just thank you now, Father, for the privilege of prayer. We pray that no one else would be hurt, oh God, and that people would not be, lives would not be lost, oh God. And at this difficult time, Lord, in history, we just pray for the church in general, that you would continue to direct us, guide us, oh Lord, strengthen us in your word. Help us to stand strong and in the word, unwavering in faith at these times, Lord, and give us clear instruction even in the midst of the difficult things that are going on around us. Help us to stay focused, Lord. Be our anchor, be our shield, and be our light and our guide, oh God. We thank you for the privilege, oh God, of prayer. And so, Lord, we ask you, come in among us today, Lord, that you would settle minds and hearts in our congregation, Lord. Give us a clear perspective on what the church should be doing in these last and evil days, that we might be a light in the midst of darkness, that we might be here to soothe those who need to be soothed, oh God. We thank you for victory, oh God, that you've given us, and we pray for even the ones among us, oh God, whose bodies need to be touched, oh God, that you would strengthen us and give us good health and strength. Lord, as you did your covenant people in times past, oh God, help us to be able to stand strong in these last and evil days. We thank you for healing mercies, oh God. And we ask you to look over those who need traveling mercies, whatever it is that we need right now, God. We pray that you touch and have mercy. Bless us today, Lord, as we open your word. Oh God, give us ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. This has been kind of a volatile time in history around here. I never thought I would hear a day when the president of the most powerful country in the free world would say, I'm having a news conference, and he says about Iraq and Ferguson. It's like, what? That's such a drastic contrast. You're talking about the war in Iraq and destruction over there in Ferguson. It's like, wow. You know, that really hits home when you hear that. And so we know the times we're in, these are difficult times. The Bible says these are the perilous times. You know, you think about it, perilous times, and then he talks about many things in that regard. I was thinking about this passage, and I thought I would just mention it. And I know you may have some things on your mind or some questions in your mind, and we want to take time to deal with that. But these verses come from Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. And he was describing a period to his disciples, you know, and this was before he was going to be crucified. In chapter 24 and verse 1, Jesus says, the writer here who is Matthew says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. See that? But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And those verses right there, I just wanted to mention it because what was impressed upon me about all the stuff we see going on, whether it's journalists being beheaded. Did you see that on the internet? Yeah. Journalists had been taken into captivity in Iraq and ISIS, the Islamic State that's fighting against, trying to undermine everything over there. Got a couple of them and made them say that America is the problem, and they cut off their heads and send videos out. Now, how much more heinous can a person be? You know, and just think about how tragic that is. And then we have our situation going on here in the city. And I think the thing that connects the two of these, and the reason why we hear shocking stuff like that, and I just wanted to mention this, is that Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound. That means it grows and grows and grows. And then what is iniquity? Iniquity would be described as that natural fallen nature of man. Man's fallen nature, his tendency to go against God and do his own thing. That started with Adam. And it's still there, you know, and people have it, especially if you're lost. If you're not saved, your iniquity is unchecked. It's just running rampant in your life. It's controlling everything you do. And even when you are saved, the iniquity that we have becomes an obstacle to our spiritual growth. And it's something we have to deal with every day. We're challenged to deal with our iniquity, that natural tendency to do the wrong thing that we have. And the Holy Spirit moves in and puts up a battle against natural fallenness and iniquity. And that's why we don't do some of the stuff we used to do. And then when we find ourselves thinking that old way, in a way of iniquity, we're put in check by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says that's wrong. And so we don't do a lot of stuff we would do if we were not put in check by the Holy Spirit. So what we see when we see people cutting off folks' head and shooting 18-year-olds and thinking that some cigars are more important than a person's life, stuff like that. That's fallenness on in the deepest part that you see, and it's just a display of it. And Jesus said iniquity would abound in the last days. In other words, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it says the love of many shall wax cold. That terminology is kind of like a candle with wax dripping, and it's building up more and more and more and more. You see? And so we see that. We see abounding iniquity. And that's what you see when you look on TV and there's thousands of people who are all reckless about what's going on. You know, it's abounding iniquity. You know, we want what we want and we want it now. And they're defying authority and all those kind of things. And so I wanted to just speak to that because I think it's something we need to take an account of ourselves so that we don't get off kilter and out of character. You know, we have to be careful how you do that. That's a volatile situation that's going on there. But you know what? Somebody said, well, I don't know. Did this person do it? Or did that person do it? Or is the cop wrong? Or is the cop right? Is the person wrong? Who did that? Did he deserve that or not? All kinds of different things are going around. But you know what? God knows everything. He knows everything. The Bible said God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. See, God has never been fooled or surprised at any time. You see? And so somebody might think one thing, but they're not. God is not mocked. You know, our confidence has to remain in the Lord at all times, because otherwise iniquity will take you down the wrong road and have you make a wrong response and do something that does not honor or glorify God. So we have to be careful. Jesus said abounding iniquity is a sign of the last times. You see what I'm saying? And so he told this to his disciples. And keep in mind, there was a ruthless government in charge when Jesus came into the world. And he submitted himself to the authorities that were over him and allowed them to crucify him. You know, and I'm not saying we need to lay down, and I'm not trying to discuss this whole subject at all. But I just want you to see that there have been wicked governments all the way from the dawn of time. Ever since man was fallen, there have been wicked governments in place. And it's not like God doesn't know about wicked governments. You know, people want to say the government now is worse. I'd say the worst government there ever was the one that took the Son of God, found him guilty, and crucified him. How much worse could you get? Now, here was the only person didn't have any sin at all, came for the purpose of saving people, told them, this is why I'm here, came to save you from your sin. I am the anointed one that God has sent. And what did you do? Found him guilty, wrong answer, and crucified him on a tree. See? But God already knew that their iniquity would take them to that point. So really, nothing really surprises me when I hear about what people are doing. You know, I'm not surprised or shocked. It's awful. It's heartbreaking. But what's missing? He says, because iniquity shall abound. I just want you to think about this statement. If you have any thoughts, we'll talk about that and take some time. He says, because iniquity shall abound. What is the result of that? The love of many shall wax cold. Now think about that for a minute. You know, what's really missing out of people's life is the absence of love. They don't love each other. They don't love God. A loss of love or an emptiness or a vacancy of love allows iniquity to do what it does and to run its course. See, it was a very loveless thing. All those things that we see right now show no love at all. Not for God and not for one another. You see, but everybody wants their pound of flesh, and we want what we want, and we want it now. And you know what the scripture also says, that those of us whose iniquity is in check are to obey the authorities that God set over us. Did you know that? We're not to be lawless people putting the government who God put in place to protect us, even if they don't. You know, they're not perfect, not by any stretch of the imagination. Some of them might be saved, some of them aren't. You know, but in spite of that, God sets authorities in place. And he does it for your protection and for your good, whether people acknowledge it or do it or not. So, and he's given instruction on that. I want to talk about that in just a minute. All these things were impressed upon me to mention to you, because I think that you need to hear this. Have this reiterated just so you can have some peace in the middle of it. Amen. You know, because if you don't think about what it says in the Word, and this is the one thing, you know, and everybody's got a solution. Have you noticed that? You got all these people coming around talking about, well, can't we all just get along? No, you can't. You haven't been getting along. What's going to make you do it now? See, you ain't been getting along. Have the Jews been getting along with the Gentiles? Have the Jews been getting along with the Christians? You know, we can't just all get along, you know, because that doesn't work. But you know what? The Christians, the ones who are saved, because Jesus said there are two religions in the world. Right. You know that, right? Okay? Everybody else thinks there are thousands of religions. Jesus said there's two. He says, he who is not with me is against me. So you either with him or you against him. Now, if you call it Judaism and you against him, it's the same thing. If you call it you're a Muslim and you're against him. If you say you're Hindu, you're against him. If you say you're anything but in him, you're against him. So there's two. Amen. You're either with me or you're against me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, if you like a verse for that. He said, he who is not with me is against me. Somebody said, oh, I'm on the fence. No, you're against me. You're not on the fence. You're on the fence against me. But you're not with me. You're either with me or you're against me. That's the only place you can be. We have a clear black and white message. And that's for every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. Right. And it's love speech. It's not hate speech. Because if anybody's going to get saved, it's going to be by God. God sent his only son to save whosoever believes in him. Right. So you're either with him or you're against him. You know, now you might be a bearer of bad news if you tell that to somebody that's practicing something else. But there are really two ways you can believe. You trust Christ, you believe him, and you're saved, or you don't. Amen. Now you call it whatever you want. It's got a million names. But you're either with him or you're against him. So you know, people don't need temporal solutions because they don't work. They will not last. They're not going to help you in the day of judgment. What you need to do is know the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? That's John chapter 8, verse 30 and 32, right along in there. Read through that John chapter 8 if you want verses on that. He says, continue in my word, then that's what makes you a disciple of mine, is if you continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. And the result of that is you shall know the truth. Why? Because my word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, so this is the time when we see shaky stuff and flaky stuff going on and people running out in rebellion and all of that. Those who trust God, you should have a spirit of rebellion in your heart. You know why? Because God has not been shaken up. He's not disturbed. He was God yesterday, he's God today, he was God on August the 8th, he's God on August the 9th, he's God today on August the 20th or the 21st. He'll be God as long as there is time, and he was God before there was time. And he is not shaken, he is not moved by any of this, and he is going to prevail over it all. So what I want to do myself, and I'm going to speak for myself now, is I'm going to trust God. I'm going to continue to lean on him, depend on him. I'm not going to be shaken by what I see. You know, you have to get where you're not shaken by what you see with your eyes, and trust in God. He is our rock. We say we build up on that rock, that solid foundation. He is the rock that we're building on. So we shouldn't be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You know, we hear a lot of people telling us what the people should be doing. And I heard so much stuff and I was almost sickening. And then you get glued to it. Were you all glued to the TV when all this stuff was on? You just get glued, and then you go, man, you know, you wonder, is anybody going to ever say the truth in the middle of all this? And I didn't hear a soul, you know. And so you probably would have a hard time getting anybody to hear it if you went there. You see what I'm saying? Because, and you, who knows, they might even, as he says here, people have a tendency to hate the one who comes with the truth. You know, they hated him when he came. He told them the truth. They hated him and crucified him. So it may not be received. It will fall on deaf ears if you get in the wrong situation. But the fact is, I want you to know God is stable. He is not being shaken. The truth will prevail. And God is not, he is our rock. As we say, our sword and our shield. You know, he protects us. And so we have to be careful that we do. Look at Romans 13. I want you to go there just for a minute. Go to Romans chapter 13. And I think this is very terribly important. Romans 13. Now, we haven't gotten here yet in our study, but we will get to it, and we'll talk about this in a lot more detail when we return, as we finally get into that section. It'll be a while, looks like, but I have to skip to it tonight because it's relevant for what's going on in our world, and I want you to have something to hang your thoughts on in the middle of all the stuff you're hearing, because you should be stable. That's the thing I want you to say, to understand. You ought to be stable about what is God doing, and is this thing out of his control? No, absolutely not. And now look at this, and you'll be surprised. Romans 13, verse 1. Somebody read a few verses of this, if you would. I got the King James translation. Does anybody have? Well, you can read King James. That's good if you got it.
Then I'm restored, we're stuck to the higher power. For there is no power but God. The power that we are, the power that be, are ordained of God.
Now, what does that mean? He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, this is talking about governing authorities in the world. That means the president, the Congress, the police, the military, whoever it is. These are governing authorities. Now, read, look what it says, that every soul, how many is that? Every soul. You see, be subject unto the higher powers. Why? For there is no power but of God. If somebody is in an office like that, how did they get there? God put them there. You don't like Obama and what he's doing? God put him there. You know what? He put Caesar there. What did Caesar do? Crucify his son. Think that one through before you fall off your pens. Did God know Caesar was going to be there? Did he know he was going to crucify his son? Did he know Pilate, the governor? He was the governor, right? He said, I wash my hands. He was trying to get out of it. But they forced his hand. Who did? The Jews? You know, they said, well, if you are no friend of Caesar, we're going to turn you into Caesar if you don't crucify him. They forced his hand, right? You see? But did God not know Pontius Pilate would go and sit on the judgment seat and wash his hands? He knew that, didn't he? You know what he did? He submitted. Jesus submitted to the higher powers that were over him. Could he have stopped it? He could have stopped it, couldn't he? He said, I could call 12 legions of angels to come right now and shut this whole system down. I could stop the heavens and the earth from existing if I want to. I have no lack of power. None whatsoever. I can tell the sun, get out the sky. Stop it right now. See? But he didn't do that, did he? So what we learn is submission is power. Okay, and I'm not saying that this whole thing here, I'm just trying to tell you a Christian perspective on how we ought to be thinking. We shouldn't be thinking, I got to go get what I want right now. How important is what you want? Which one is the most important to you? What you want or what God said? You know, and think about what God did. He illustrated it. The greatest illustration of all is his son becoming flesh. He was wounded for our transgressions. God had already prophesied all these things would happen. And Jesus submitted to the governing authorities that were over him. How about the apostles? Did they buck up against the authorities when they came to get them? No. What did they do? They went to jail, didn't they? What about Paul? How about the portions of the Bible that are written from the jail cell? You know, they found him guilty. Why? Because he was telling them the truth. Right. They didn't want to hear it. We got to shut him up, get him out of the public square, lock him up. Right. And Paul and Silas praised God in the stocks after having been beaten in the stocks in the Philippian jail all night long. Yeah. You see, 12 midnight, they start praising the Lord. The jailer wondered, what's up with these? You know, I ain't seen nothing like that. We didn't beat you and flog you, put you in stocks. A stock is a thing they put over your head, and you're in there like this, your feet in the bottom, your hands in here, and you're all in there. Then they just beat you like you stole something. You know, and now you're in there, and all you can do is take the pain. See, no telling what else might happen to you while you're in the stocks. You know, if you think through it. And what did they do? They said, thank you, God, for counting us worthy to suffer for your name's sake. And they praised the Lord, sang songs of praise around about midnight. To the point that the stocks, gosh, broke the whole place up with an earthquake. And the Philippian jailer woke up out of his sleep, and he knew this thing, what y'all got, is real. He said he went and fell at their feet after Paul told him, don't fall, kill yourself, because he was about to put himself to death. In Acts 16, he said, don't do that. We're all here. And he called for lights, had to get candles, whatever they used in those days, to light the place up, saw everybody was there. And then he knew this is supernatural. He fell on there on his knees and said, "Gentlemen, what must I do to be saved?" See, so that was powerful. Their submission to the law and the higher powers and the authorities that were over them was extremely powerful. They didn't come here to make trouble. They came bringing the good news of the gospel. And threw cast a demon out of a slave girl who they were pimping, if you don't mind if I use the term. And she stopped, and so they couldn't get the money anymore. So they beat them and threw them in jail. See, and then in the morning when they found out, Paul said, "Well, you know, I'm a Roman citizen." He did mention that he had rights. And they said, "Oh, well," they knew they had broken the law. See, and then he said, "Well," they said, "we're going to let you go. Just get out of town." You know, and so the fact is, you can stand up for your rights within the framework of the government, but you don't go and exceed and violate the government. That's not right. That would be wrong. Whoever teaches you that is teaching you wrong. Let's look at Romans 13 one more time. Let every soul, so in case you didn't think that means you, it says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. If somebody's in charge, if they're a police, a military, a governor, a senator, whatever they are, God allowed it. So you and I have to understand, the government is under the authority and the control of God. And the Bible says, let every soul be subject. In other words, put yourself under their authority, under the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And notice this, the powers that be are ordained by God. So they didn't get where they are unless God ordained for it to be so. That doesn't mean they're right all the time. Doesn't say that. It's not addressing that at all. And I've given you some classic illustrations of how they were not right, but the people submitted themselves because God is the one who allowed them to be there. See? And so this is where your peace is going to come from, is the fact that you know whatever you're going through, God allows it. And if you stick with Him, He can bring you out of it. You know, they locked up Peter. First, they took James, put him to death with the sword. It says in Acts 12. You know, and they were going to get Peter too, but then they said, "Oh, we got a holy day we must celebrate first. We can't do that and stain the holy day." Yeah. You're a murderer, but you got a holy day, you say. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this stuff is there so we understand interactions that Christians who love God ought to have with the government and the authorities. See, we're not rebellious people going out bucking up against the government. You do that, notice what it says here. Somebody read verse 2. Romans 13 and 2.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Now look at that. If you resist the authorities that God put over you, what does it say there?
Damnation.
And you resist what? The authority of God. Is anybody teaching this?
I don't think so.
Did you hear it from any of those folks over there? You know what they did? They said, "We must get our rights right now." And yeah, we're going to make the government this, that. And then now we got a whole city in a complete uproar. People are being hurt. Folks have had to move out their houses because those streets are lined with people's house. Their backyard comes right up to the street. And now they got people shooting in their backyard. They got smoke bombs blowing up in their backyard, grenades, all kinds of stuff, to the point they can't even come in their yard or walk their dog or do anything. And I got to leave here, actually, because I'm scared for my life just to be at home. Think about it. Civil unrest is something that's being bought on by people who have not understood this. It's not by people who love God and know the truth. You see what I mean? And we have to see this. I mean, here it is in your Bible. You know what the problem is, and this is what gets me. I've heard everything. Well, we need to have a set up relationship between the police and the people in the neighborhood. That's not going to help. You know what people need? This is the real truth, and I have to say this. This has been on my heart ever since I saw all this. We threw God out of the public square 50 years ago. No more prayer in schools.
Yeah.
Throw the Bible out. We don't want that Bible. That's one-sided religion. Get that out of here.
Amen.
And now we have two or three generations of people who have been brought up with no restraint in their life.
Amen.
And they'll do anything. The Bible says this. It says that those who hate God, he says in the Ten Commandments, that I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. That's what he says. Now, God is not the one doing it. You know what? The ones who hated God didn't teach their children about God. They didn't teach their children about God. They didn't teach their children about God. Next thing you know, you got people who will do anything. They have no restraint in their life at all. Their iniquity is cut loose, running wild. We'll steal. We don't care what we'll do. Anything is okay. We'll rape, we'll shack up, we'll do whatever. We have no restraint in our life because God has nothing to do with it. See, the truth has been cast out. What's wrong with the culture? The truth has been cast out for 50 years. You have generations of people coming up with very little or no knowledge of God. And you think you can fix it with kumbaya? Kumbaya is not going to cut it. We bring out the black man, put him out there and let him bring some peace. Well, he got a little something done until the iniquity overflowed. And next thing you know, we need the militia. I got to have the National Guard over here, the governor says. It's out of my control now.
Amen.
I got all the police in the whole city, and I need to call for the National Guard. Hasn't happened in Missouri since World War II. How long ago was that? When was World War II? About the time we threw the Bible out, right? Think about it. Threw the Bible out, now you need the militia. What's up with that? People are not God-fearing. They don't trust God. They have no bearing or no anything to anchor their soul in the midst of trouble. And we think we can fix it with a Band-Aid. It's like, okay, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. You're not going to get any better. You better get to the doctor. You see what I'm saying? A Band-Aid is not going to help. People got to get back to the truth. And the church has got to be the one who proclaims the truth. You know, and like I say, it's very clear here, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, or condemnation, some translations says. Why? Verse 3. Read verse 3.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have
Now, look at that. He defines very clearly the situation here. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're doing good, they don't bother you. You know what I found out? When I was in sin, the police scared the daylights out of me. You know why? Because I was in sin. I'm riding dirty. I got something I ain't got no business with. It's against the law. And I'm carrying it around. When I see them, oh my God. You know, why? Because I'm wrong. You know what? Ever since God cleaned up my life, I don't even care if the police are anywhere. Don't shudder a bit. How you doing, officer? Good day. He's there for the purpose of standing up for that which is right. That's his job. His God-ordained duty is to protect people who are doing the right thing. Now think about this. God ordained human government to make civil manner of living for people who are doing the right thing. That's what it says. They don't always do a perfect job. They're fallen, crooked sinners too. You know, but think of how would it be if there were no police? How would it be if you couldn't pick up the phone and dial 911 when something is going wrong? How would your life be if the people who do wrong and don't love God knew that when you dial 911, nothing's going to happen? That means you're a sitting duck. I can come in and do whatever I want to do to you. There's nobody to check me. Think about that. See, so you need that. Suppose you don't have an army. How about those folks over there cutting off folks' head? What do you think they'll do to you? If you don't have an army to say, no, that's evil, and stop that, and take them out of service, what would they do? They come right over here and take everything you have. And you won't have any peace. You might not even have, you might lose your head. That's what would happen. They're showing you that already. This is where we at. Our iniquity is so far, we'll cut your head off and put it on TV. And send you a video in the mail or over the internet. See, so we see where they are. So you need these things. You need, and God established that they would be so he can keep in check people who don't know him and don't love him. Mm-hmm. Folks who know him and love him are to submit themselves to such authority. Mm-hmm. That's what it says, okay? And if you don't, he says, rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're doing the right thing, they're not going to bother you. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to. Now, sometimes they do, and you might be thinking, sometimes they do. You know, if they do, God knows it. Right. I don't have to fight them. If something unjust happens to me, God knows that something unjust happened to me. You know, there were times when something should have happened to me that I got away with it, right. You know, so to speak, I thought.
Right.
God knew about it, but I didn't get judged every time I did something wrong.
Right.
And now I'm trying to do stuff right. You see? And so I don't have a problem with the law. Or with these governmental offices and things. They're there for your protection. And God has ordained them and put them in place. If he wants to take one down, he can do it. How about that?
Yeah.
Do we ever see that in the Word? How about Nebuchadnezzar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sat there and he said, oh, you know, your God might be the God up there, but I'm God down here. And I'm running this. That's what he told Daniel then. And God said, oh, you running this, huh? 7 years he was in the field eating grass. The Bible said, I'm going to give you, put you in the field eating grass and eagle feathers growing out your back for 7 years until you realize that I'm the Lord of heaven and earth. Shut him down. Took him off the throne. Put him in the field like a crazy man. His sanity went away. See, so God can raise up and he can tear down. You know, you and I don't have to worry about it. Trust the Lord, whatever you're going through. He loves you. He gave his son for you. He allowed his son to be subjected to an evil government and to be crucified, buried, and rose him from the dead. They put their seal on his grave. So we're going to seal you in there. Just seal that grave. We don't want him coming out of there because it'll be worse than it was. When if they say he got out that grave, we ain't going to be able to handle it. The Jews knew that. So they put the Roman seal on his grave. Did that stop him from coming out? You see what I'm saying? So when the government is wrong, God will overrule the government. And you don't have to worry about it. That's what I want you to know. And I'm hoping you leaving here tonight with peace. Because you might have been a little troubled about the stuff going on. It troubles me. It really does. And then when I see people supposed to be in spiritual authority who don't instruct people what God said, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I really do. Because if they don't get back here, this is where they've fallen from. The Bible said to the church over there, one church, he said, you've left your first love in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, remember from whence thou hast fallen and repent.
Right.
Come back to God. That's what the message our community needs is go back to God.
Back.
Get back in the Word. Get back in the church.
Okay.
Get the Word in you so that you have some protection and a barrier from God in your life.
Right.
To give you peace in the midst of a tumultuous situation. So God sometimes sends tumults, the Bible uses that word, and to judge people. Did you know that? We don't have time to talk about it. I wasn't even trying to preach here tonight. But I just wanted you to know that God has got you covered. If you love him, he already loves you. And he allowed his son to be subjected to an evil government so that you can understand this principal thing, that in the midst of turmoil, you do not have to worry. Your anchor is him. You're anchored in Christ. Rulers are not a terror to good works, he says, but to evil. If you're doing wrong, then they're going to rebuke you. Notice this. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? They're in authority and they pack guns and weapons. Why? Because they have authority to use it. And I'm not saying that makes them right in everything they do. But just think of how your life would be if you didn't have anybody checking the people who are doing wrong. That's all you need to do. Now notice this, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Why? He says, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's what the government is for.
That's right.
There it is in your Bible. The purpose of government is to execute wrath upon the one doing evil. That's what it says. Okay? But he says, and if you're doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about them. And by and large, that's true. Now, there are some cases where stuff is not right. But you know what? Even in that, God's justice will prevail. Nobody ever tricked God at any time.
That's right.
See, but I just want you to know civil unrest is something that Christians should not be participating in, stuff that gets you morally or civilly out of order.
That's right. Amen.
Because God says, trust me. I got this. You know, I put those people in charge. If they do wrong, I will rebuke them. I'll move them out of their place. And we're going to watch and see what happens. That's where I'm at on that. And I'm on that because this is what the word says. Notice this here. Looking at that verse 4 again. For he, speaking of the rulers and the authorities, are a minister to thee for good. That's why God puts them in place. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You want your mind to be clear?
Mm-hmm.
Live a godly, moral, righteous life. That's how you can have a clear conscience. Because I'm operating within the things that are right. See? And so if your conscience will be clear, it says here, and not only that, but the wrath of the government will not come upon you. Most law-abiding citizens don't have to worry about anything of that sort. You don't even have that fear. You ride around without fear. I remember having fear when I was doing the wrong thing. I don't know if there's a witness here tonight. I just wonder. I see everybody looking at me, you know, on that. But I mean, when you're not doing right, don't you be looking for, oh boy, something's gonna come down on me? Because you know you're wrong. Your conscience is corrupted. Because you know you're not right. But when you're doing the right thing, you don't feel that, right? Because I'm okay. Now if somebody rebuke you, and that could happen. And they thought you did something, but you didn't. You know what? I've been accused of something, and I didn't do it. Have you had that happen?
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me, what was that you put in your pocket in a store one time? I said, my keys. Come on back here in the back. They won't take you in the back. Get back there. What's in your pocket? My keys. Now what? So he was mistaken. Oh, let me pat you down. Okay, there's nothing there. I don't care. Pat on. You know? Have you had something like that happen? And I wasn't the least bit afraid because I knew I didn't do anything. So go ahead, check what you need, you know? So that's the way you are when you're doing the right thing. You don't have to worry about that. Got nothing to worry about. You know, if you're doing something wrong, then your conscience is not going to be right. And you're not going to feel right about what you're doing. See? Because that's what the conscience is. The conscience is to the spiritual body as pain is to the body. It's to your soul. Conscience is the pain system, or it will either prove you or it will rebuke you. See, if you're doing right, you have a good, clear conscience. This is all good. I know I'm fine. And you can stand up with your head upright, and you can go on with your business. No reason to be fearful. If your conscience is saying, no, that's wrong, you're convicted. I tell this to people all the time. If you have an issue you're dealing with and your conscience is saying don't do it, you know what? Don't do it. Do not do it. I don't care if it's peer pressure, like the kids, y'all have folks saying, hey, do so and so. If your conscience says no, say no. I'm not going to do it. Because that's how people get pressured into doing stuff that's wrong. Because I want to impress you, but I don't feel right about it. It's not right. If it's not right, don't do it. Stay away from it. Steer away from it. Do whatever you have to do, but don't do it. Go tell somebody else, somebody is pressuring me to do something and I don't feel right about it. See what I'm saying? That's for the kids. Not only just the kids, adults. You might have somebody wanting you to do something you don't feel right about. If your conscience is not clear, your answer is no. Period. And get up and flee. Go away from it. Don't allow somebody to make you do something you don't feel right about. You know, that's why God put that system in your body. It's a mental system that protects you from doing stuff that's wrong. The Holy Spirit works in the conscience. Did you know that? Because he's there to convict you when something is wrong. If you feel bad about it, stop it. Don't do it anymore. Say no, not going to do it anymore. And what happens when people don't obey their conscience, which is governed by the Holy Spirit, is they develop bad habits. And then they feel bad, or either they get where they don't feel bad anymore. Now you're in a worse shape because now you're doing something and you don't even feel bad about it. You know it's not right. See what I'm saying? So you have to be very careful with that. The conscience needs to be tuned. You know what tunes the conscience? God's word. When you put the word in, it provides conviction. So that you know what's right and wrong. That's the reason, one of the big things about the word is it gives you a dividing line of what is true and what is false. What's good, what's bad. What's right, what's wrong. And it's clear, black and white, just like what we first started with. There are two religions. How do we know that? Jesus said something. He said, either you with me or you against me. I don't care what you call it. If it's against him, it's not with him. So it's only two. See, you either love the one or hate the other. You will despise the one or cleave to the other, but you cannot serve God and mammon, he says. In Matthew 6, 24 is the verse that Ray was talking about earlier. But see, the fact is, we need to be on board with the truth. And we need to hear the truth. We don't hear enough of the truth. Coming to Bible study one night is not enough. You ought to feel like it's not enough. You know, on Sunday you ought to be thirsty for the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And through the week, have your devotionals, read your word, pray.
Right.
Do righteous activity. You know why? Because when you turn on the TV, that's like opening up the devil's sewer right into your life.
Right.
The TV is filled with the wrong thing.
Right.
And it's being piped into all of our children. The internet, a lot of it is filled with the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get contaminated ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Another example I saw today that said, I'm just running my mouth here. Y'all haven't even stopped me. The Supreme Court had a ruling today that Virginia does not have to acknowledge same-sex marriage, and then it said yet.
Yeah.
I said, oh. And then you keep reading the article, and it says 31 states have not approved it. But they may have to approve it along with this. I said, I thought there were 50 states.
Right.
If there's 50 states, 31 of them said no, what are you talking about?
Right.
What happened to majority rules?
Right.
Why come the other ones are not being made to do what the 31 states have said?
Right.
Cannot be done.
Right.
How did it get that the minority, you considering making the 31 do what the minority said?
Right.
What is wrong with that? Don't y'all even know math anymore? See what I'm saying? 31 say no, the other few say yes, and you thinking about forcing the 31 to comply with, that's wrong. What's wrong? That's bad math, isn't it? I thought it was 50 states. Am I in the right country? Are there 50 states here? 31 of them said no. You see what I'm saying? So how is it now you're going to take the other 19? Am I right on my math? Huh?
Right.
19, I'm going to say to the 31,
mm-hmm.
You got to change. Because us 19 say it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. That's bad math.
Yeah.
You know? See what I'm saying? But you know what they go by? They go by population centers. New York and California and Ohio, some of these have more population. They call us flyover territory. That's just territory we fly over to get over here to California where the people are. Or we fly over there to get up here to New York. See what I'm saying? This is flyover country. That's for the 31 states is in the flyover area. That's the way they justify it. There's not enough people in there. All the people are either up here or over there. See what I'm saying? But this is how the government is twisted, but we still should not defy the government. Now, there is a time, and I have to say this to balance our teaching, there is a time when you must defy the government. Now, you thought I would never get here, didn't you? You know, when you do it, it's when the government tells you to do something God told you don't do it.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
And you see that with the apostles in Acts. They said, well, quit preaching in the name of Jesus. You can preach, just don't mention that Jesus. And they said, what? No, it's nothing to preach. You just sterilize the gospel. If Jesus can't be in it. And Peter told him, you choose whether we ought to obey God or man. But we must preach the gospel. See, now at that time, you have authority from God to defy the government. When the government tells you, do something that God said, don't do it. There you go. See what I mean? So there is a time to defy the government. Other times when they're just not you know, trying to tell you to do anything ungodly, you obey the government. When they tell you to do something God said no, or God said yes, that's the time you defy the government. I just want to let you know there is a time, and that's when they counter what God said in his word. Now you must defy, because God is going to be at your back. Now the higher authority, which is over them, is there with you in that decision, because God told you to do what I said. When they start telling you do immoral stuff, we're going to legalize dope. Well, we ain't doing that, because God said I need to have a clear mind and be sober in my judgment. See what I'm saying? Or if he says marry, you can marry men and women. No, God said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. You stand on what God said. If they tell you to go against what God said, that's the time you defy the government. Only time you do. When you do that, God is with you in that decision, and he'll be with you to support you. So I think this was a critical lesson tonight. Time's gone, but we need to understand, how do you stand in shaky times when you see everything coming undone all around you and people doing civil disobedience and all that? We have no part of that. See? But we have the solution. The solution is God sent his son to be crucified for you. And if you trust him, you can lean and depend on him. He'll be a rock in the midst of trouble. And he'll lift you up from the miry clay and set you on a rock if you trust in him. See? And so that's what we have to do. And that's the only time we defy the government, is if the government tells us to do something ungodly. Okay? If we're standing like that, we're good. We're on solid ground. And we cannot be moved. Even if they take me out, like they did James, they chopped his head off. So beheading has been going on a long time, hasn't it? Has been. And that was written in the Talmudic, which the Talmud is the commentary that the Jews wrote on the Old Testament. See what I'm saying? And they said that a heretic would be executed with the sword. And so they were calling James a heretic, but James was victorious. And he stood up against them. He was probably more vocally strong than Peter, because they got him first. It said they laid hold on James and put him to death with the sword, is what it says here in Acts 12. And then they also grabbed hold of Peter, intending also to do him. But then they said, we'll wait till after the Passover. Oh, so you got a holy celebration you got to do in there. You don't want to have a murder stain that holy celebration. And you just murdered one of God's spokesmen. See what I'm saying? But we'll bring him out, lock him up, we'll get him after the Passover. And then God went into jail and let him out.
Yes.
He came knocking on the door. Remember that? So that's what I'm telling you. Stand with the Lord. Whatever troubles you're dealing with, stand with the Lord. You know, don't disrupt the government. Let the government do what it's supposed to do. And if it's a little out of order, God knows it. If it's a lot out of order, God knows it. And you know what? You're not going to get away. Galatians 6 says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see that? So that's where we have to stand. And I hope this is reinforcing to you. I'm going to just finally shut up here and leave some time in case you have any questions or comments on this. Amen. Anything at all? It'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds. But I hope you're not shaken or troubled. I hope that was a reinforcing thing for you. You know, any questions, comments? I see Brother Dotson, he looks enraptured over there. I don't know if he got something stirring in his head over there. All right now. Amen. All right. Anything at all before we make preparations to close? All right. Amen.